Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting at the roundtable this morning live with Professor Oliver, our co-host, and we're excited to be live this morning. Last week we were traveling. It's getting to the point now where we're traveling out of town, but we're traveling back and forth, and sometimes you just can't get to the show a couple times this summer based on doing the Lord's work. So it's all good. We put on a show what we think that is worth listening to again. So I appreciate your patience. Just want to say good morning, and sorry we couldn't be with you last Saturday, but we're here today. I'm excited just to get back on and say good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Cynthia, how are you?
Good morning, I'm fine. I'm fine, thank you. Good morning, audience. It is a pleasure to be in North Carolina. It is a beautiful day outside, and we're just overlooking downtown. And I'm excited just about being here. And Dr. Fletcher will tell you a little bit while we're here in a moment.
Okay, it's not often that we get to sit in the same setting and in presence with each other when we're doing the show. We'll go in and see if we can find our other co-host, Deborah Tyler.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Wish you were here with us, Deborah. How you doing?
Feeling a little jealous, I'll be honest. I'm a little jealous.
That's what I like about your honesty, you know what I'm saying? But you know you're here with the spirit, because you know when we're together, we have a really good time. We really do.
Yes, we do. All is well, praise the Lord, all is well.
Yeah, but you know there's no distance in spirit. And see, God allowed someone to create the internet, because he knew one day we wouldn't be, if we didn't go using our 2 feet, that he would send us through the airwaves. You know, how unique is that? He's like,
wow.
So there's no excuse for them not to go and preach the gospel. If you don't have money, you can preach the gospel around the world, because we have cell phones now. It means you could call somebody in Europe right now and on the dive, preach the gospel, and you're around the world. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So when he said, well, he said go to and fro, but you know, I ain't got no money. Yeah, but you on that phone. So you can call somebody on the other side. I got friends in Africa, Australia, you name it, London, you name there, somebody you can connect with. And then when you're on Facebook, the most amazing thing when I do go on there and I look at some of the people that my friends that really, I'm telling you, I guess because it's a business, I don't really know them all. But, I mean, there's people on there from all over, Africa, London, you name it, and I'm just looking at it. So there's no need. I can communicate with somebody in London. So we can use our Facebook to do the gospel. you can touch in with people around the world and give a word. And you are traveling. You're doing what he told you to do. Go throughout the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's a word for somebody and probably for me. Because, see, I ain't been doing it. But it came in my spirit this morning. So that means what? I got to do it. The Holy Spirit got a way of putting you on Front Street, right? Now, you just put me on Front Street. So that means what?
I gotta do it.
Yeah. All right. So, Deb, you want to give us a prayer this morning?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you just to say thank you. Thank you for waking us up, finding us on our way. Thank you for giving us what we need to go through this day. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your unfailing mercy and grace. We love you, we adore you. Lord, go before us right now. Use us so we may be a tool for your glory, giving you all the honor as we do your work. Let your word not return back to you void, that it will accomplish that thing which you sent it to accomplish this day. Touch the hearts of the hurting, Lord. Draw in those this far, Lord. Let them know that there's a way out in every situation, that Jesus is the reason for all that we do. We do it for you, Lord. Help us to be what you call us to be. Minister now to you, to us, to them, to the world, Lord. Right now, we thank you for using us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer. It's just, you always, I like when you say, thank you for what you've done, hadn't done. You know, just, you know, believing in us. You know, God believe in us. He really know that we can do it. And can you imagine that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are our biggest cheerleaders and saying, you know, whenever we think it's a difficult time, they say, just keep going. Don't stop. No matter what that looks like, that's to keep going. Because you got to get to the other side of it. I got something up there waiting for you. But, oh, that enemy try to make sure you think this is it, ain't nothing else beyond this moment. Isn't that something? So there we are. Did you want to say something else, Professor Oliver?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Well,
anything else you want to say, Deborah?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I'll be back and pick you up soon as I share a thought, okay?
Okay.
Okay, audience. This is... I'm going to go to some thoughts and something that the Holy Spirit and I talked about this morning. Again, for the newcomers coming on, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm here at the roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. And the good news is that God speaks to mothers and daughters. He literally talked to you. Are you listening? He's trying to tell you something. But if you're not listening, you're going to miss it. And you can't listen if you don't know that you have a relationship with God. You got to know Jesus in order to have that relationship, because Jesus already told you, you can't get to the Father except through me. You can take that literally, or you can take it any way you want to, but that it means exactly what it says. You can't get to the Father except through going through Jesus. And again, you know, like I told some time ago, a friend of mine used to say, well, I don't understand this thing about got to go through Jesus. That's the only way. There are many ways to God. Well, I mean, that's not what God says, but to get to God, you got to go through Jesus, meaning that what? You got to know love. Jesus was love, and God is only accepting love, pure love, unconditional love. And when you get that, you're going through Jesus, because he represents love. And then he came to show us the way, to tell us, this is the way you do it, and you do it in love. And then you're going to be accepted through the Father. But if you got hatred, unbelief, you know, don't like somebody, got a hidden motive, that doesn't have anything to do with love. Love and hate can't stay in the same spot, so you caught up. All right, so this morning, last week, like I said, we were traveling. We were down in South Florida. We were teaching at the Bible College. Had a wonderful, wonderful weekend there. And I actually flew down this time rather than driving. So we came back real quick. And it's been a week. And we've been sitting here, Cynthia, just actually working. Like I told Cynthia, we were working like little ants.
just moving around, doing all kinds of stuff, and hopefully we've stored up some good stuff that's going to be beneficial for someone in the winter, because, you know, we're getting ready to put the Bible College online. So for all the audience out there, look for it. You'll be able to take the classes online. You'll be able to start where you stop. You'll be able to get that college degree and do what you were asked to do by God if that college degree is a part of that journey that you're supposed to take. You know, I thought I didn't need the college degree. I really did. And then God showed me the world is geared up that you have to be in a certain position. If you're not prepared, they're not going to accept you. So that's why you see people going to college, because they want to be prepared. They want to be ready. You want to be able to talk intelligently to people. You want to be a part of the conversation. You want to be able to broaden your mind so that someone can't just come in and tell you anything and you believe it. So education is the key to freedom. Without knowledge, the people will perish. So that's a simple thing, and God tells us that. So today we're going to talk about a stimulating topic. Today is mothers, where there is a will, there is a way. And that came this morning, like, I'm like, okay, I got it in the last hour, but I don't have to worry about it. I release myself to the Holy Spirit, and he will share what he means by that. Mothers, where there is a will, there is a way. Okay. So let's just start on this topic, and I'm going to make it general, and we're going to open up the mic, and we're going to discuss it back and forth, because I'm doing, when I have Cynthia here with me, or Deborah, when we're all in the same spot, we have to open it up as an open dialogue. So my part is going to be short, and then we're going to jump into an open conversation. What came to mind when I heard the topic this morning, mothers, where there's a will, there's a way. And I thought about it. How many times have you heard that statement? The statement is, mothers, where there's a will, there's a way. I've heard that all my life. If there's a will, there's a way. And in my mind, especially when I was younger, a younger Christian, I'm thinking, it sounds like if I have the will, then I have the way. Or it sounds like if you have the will, there's a way. But in truth, what it really means is, and this is my opinion, it really means there's only one will, and that's the will of God. And there's only one way. And Jesus came to show us the way. So if there's only one will, that's why you have to surrender yourself. When you surrender yourself, and people say surrender yourself to God, what does that mean? That means you have to give up what you think the way you should live, or what you think about a situation, and then look at, okay, no, it's not about what I think. I don't have a will that overrides the will of God. My will should merge into the will of God. Now, this is how you're going to get the best of your product. Just think of it. The Father manufactured the human. The human operates according to the instructions of the manual from the manufacturer. So now, you look at yourself, I don't own myself. I didn't create me. So there has been a will to create me and a will to operate me. So what is that? How do I find out the will for my life? All you got to do is read the Bible. Why do you think that the Holy Spirit led the prophets to write about what God said
and what Jesus said. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they put it in a book? Why do you think the book has been lingering around the number one bestseller out of all time? No other book can ever outsell this book. Longer than 2,000 years from Jesus. They've been writing the word of God from the beginning of time. So the Bible that we have is just a snippet, as they could say, of all that has been written. We wouldn't be able to read it in a lifetime. Most people don't even read the Bible, which is just 66 books. And they don't read that in a lifetime. So you can only imagine all the words of God that was created and put on scribes and placed out there, some not even found now, but he let us receive what we're supposed to receive because what? After Jesus, we have a new commitment. We have a new commandment. We live a whole different lifestyle than the Old Testament. But all of it is relevant. Because if he did it then, he'll do it today and he'll do it tomorrow. So now when we're talking about the will, I look at it, the will is simply the promises of God. He lets you know. Some people say, well, you don't know what God's going to do. You don't know the will of God. Yes, you do. You will know if you read the Bible because he's not going to let you be blind. He's not going to let you roam around and miss heaven because he didn't leave it clear enough for you to get there. Then the blood would be on him. It would be his fault that you went to hell. So he's not going to make it to the point where you can say, well, Jesus, I couldn't find it. I didn't know. And so that's why I'm going to hell, because you didn't make it clear. No, you read it, and you're going to be instructed. And what is not clear to you, you can ask for wisdom. And he said, no man asks for wisdom. He made sure he put in a guarantee in there. The guarantee is don't act like you don't know, because if you don't know, ask me. And if you ask me, I'm going to tell you. So now there's no excuse for you not to know. And even if you are not in the Bible and reading the Word, if you talk to God and ask, he didn't say, you got to read the Bible, then ask me. There was no prerequisites to asking. All you got to do is ask. You can be on the street. Let's just put you out in the desert somewhere, never even heard of Jesus. But, there's no human on the earth that don't know, believe that there's a God. Even in the wilderness, they believe in a God because they know there's something greater out there. But sometimes people can't believe in Jesus to say a man that lived on the earth really is any different than me. That's where the problem comes in. You're trying to reason within your own mind. And so when they try to reason it out, how can he be a man? It's impossible for a man to walk on the earth and not sin. It's impossible for a man not to make a mistake, because we know how many mistakes we've made. We're judging that. But he came here prepared, God in that body, unblemished, prepared to show you that even with your blemished body and all of your sins and all of your mistakes, I'm going to forgive you, because see what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the atonement for all sins through this body, which we call Jesus Christ. So now when we're talking about the will, the mother, so when you saying, thinking, how you going to make it? Go to the promise of God. There's a promise there. He said he died on the cross. He became poor so that you could become rich. So that takes care of your finances. He said, by his stripes, you are healed. And that takes care of all of your diseases and sickness. In John 15:7, he says, if you be in me and my word be in you, you can ask me anything that you want, and it will be granted. I mean, that's plain. I got that on a board in my room. I live by that every day. I mean, you know what to ask. You got to ask what his will is, not come off the top of your head with crazy, because God don't do crazy. It's got to be a loving, it's got to be a spirit of love in order for you, his will to operate in your life. I can't ask him to go out there and get somebody because they was mean to me or cause them some harm, because when you do that, then what you're doing, he said, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. So if you're going to ask for something to be done, a thought of something to be done negative and harmful to someone else, that is going to come right back to you. That's your judgment to it. So, but if you send out love, hope, peace, joy, you send that out, you get that back. I remember somebody told me one time, and I use this with my when I'm counseling my client, is that I've heard so many women say, but my husband is not intimate with me. He doesn't touch me. He doesn't kiss me. You know, he just doesn't have conversation with me. And I would say to them, if you want a kiss, then you kiss him, because you're going to get what you want. See, if you want something, you got to give that, and then you get it. If you want your husband to hold your hand, then hold his hand, and you're getting what you want. You get it? So stop complaining about my daughter's not doing this. She, when she comes in, she's this and she's that, and she's not spending time with me. Figure out a way to get in her world. Go into her world, because you know there's a divide. She's looking at you now as an older woman. You don't understand, but you go into your children's world. You want to be a part of their time and their space. Find out how, what they like, and do what they like to do, and spend time with them in that time and space, and you get what you want. So if you want something from God, then you go into that Bible and you find out what God says, give him what he wants, and you get what you want. It's just that simple. So the will of God is the promises of God. And what he promised you, he'll do it. But then you got a part to play. You can't just receive. He said you give, you receive. See, that's a promise. You got to understand. If you read it and you get it, he said, if you give, you will receive. But we want to receive and not give. I used to have a problem sometimes when people would talk about tithe. And I get into church, and every time I turn around, I'm talking about tithing, 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 tithing. See, that was the devil. I tithe when I wanted to, and then sometimes I said, well, I can't do it this time, and I didn't do it, and da-da-da-da, you know, going back and forth, and the devil trying to tell me, God don't need your money. See, they just going to do this, that, and the other, and they ain't doing so-and-so-and-so with the money, and you know, why would you put the money in here, and you don't know where the money going, you know, and you get caught up into that. But when I really got it, when God spoke to me from his own word, you don't need nothing from us. It's about being obedient. It's about following what he said. His word said, if you give, you shall receive. So if I give unto the ministry that I'm going to receive, you better believe there is nothing that you do, there is nothing that you need that will not be there on time when you need it, when you pay your tithes. I can't believe I'm preaching tithing this morning. But see, he told me how to lay out my finances. And it took me actually almost 5 years to follow that plan. I thought, well, I'll follow the plan when I get the money. You know, I'm thinking he's going to give me, you know, I'm thinking big money. So when I get it, then I'm going to do this, that, and other. Maybe that's what it was. No, he wanted me to follow that plan with my $2 right now. And I started that plan in 2016. One day I woke up and I said, you know what, God? I am tired of always trying to figure out how and what I'm going to do and where my money is and how I'm going to negotiate.
And I remember he said, I gave you a plan. And I started that plan in 2017. And I started in January. And I did not deviate. So you got to give you your own plan. But the gist of the whole thing was paying your tithe. Give to me first. Give me the first of everything that drop in your hand. I don't care which way it come. Give it to me first. And when I did that, I mean, I opened up a God account. I dropped that money in God account. I don't even put it in my account. Got my account, the ministry account. I got God's account. And I operate out of that. And I followed what he told me to the letter. In July, God said to me, you know what month this is? July. He said, number 7, you have not deviated. You have followed my instructions exactly the way I told you to follow them. And now I'm going to open up the window of heaven. And I'm telling you, I've been lifted up ever since. I have not yet worried about where I'm going to get a penny. I don't worry about money. I don't worry about what's going to happen. It's flowing. It just flow. Because, see, anytime you get to the will of God, then you're going to experience the promises of God. But if you want the promises of God and you're not doing his will, it's not going to work. You can't be slick. You can't have hatred in there. You can't be in your mind seducing somebody's husband or sneaking around and trying to plot to get somebody in trouble. See, God know your heart. So you can't be slick and think that his promises are going to operate in your life. So he allow you to hit a bump in the road to get your attention. To get your attention. Whenever I hit a bump, I'm like, okay, Lord, what did I do? I'm going to stop, repent, figure out something, because what? I am out of the will of God, because the will of God is good. The will of God is smooth. The will of God is his word, is his truth. And he can't lie. So if things are not working and you're on a bumpy road, you just got to go back and say, okay, where am I out of the will of God? What area in my life am I out of the will of God? And we all do it. That's why we got Jesus. So we can always call on him. We can always repent. And he's always going to forgive us. And then we're always going to get back on track if we ask. Help me to get back on track. Because we're humans carrying around a spirit in a sinful world. And so therefore he told you, if you follow me, you're going to be persecuted. Meaning that the enemy's going to come after you. He's going to try to trap you as you travel down this journey to get back to whom you came from. The enemy's going to try to stop you. It's a game of life. He tried to stop Jesus. So if he tried to stop Jesus and he knew who Jesus was, what will he do for us? And he could trick us in the least little thing because we don't see him coming. And he always comes with 3 things: sex, money, and drugs. He's going to trap you up because he knows those are the sins of the world that will hit a multitude of people at one time, and they will fester, and then they'll just spread like a virus. You're talking about going viral. He's got it going on once he can get you caught up in one of those areas. That's that persecution. So you got to be on your P's and Q's. You got to stay in the word every day. You got to constantly ask for protection. Live on Psalms 91, the promises of protection from the Most High. Under his wings, you got to see yourself under those wings with those feathers covering you. I didn't make this up. That's what it said. So it didn't mix words. It says, under my wing. My feather will just cover you. So I said, God, I want the Psalms 91 protection. How many I'm reading a book now that's full of testimonies of people that have been saved and protected from Psalms 91. But that's what I want. When I go out and come and whatever I'm doing, my family, I want to be under that protection. Because what? It's already a will of God. And whatever his will is real. Because Jesus said, what? I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Now, this is right here. Going to blow your mind. Because I was just talking just this week and having my conversation with God. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit said, remember in the Bible, and I got to go back and find it, but I'm going to challenge you to find it. I can just Google it. It says, Jesus said this, whatever you want, don't ask me, because when he was leaving, he said, don't ask me anything. You ask the Father, and when you ask the Father, I will do it. And this week, it showed me, like, so we can call on Jesus all we want. Jesus, 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 Jesus ain't going to do nothing unless the Father tells him to do it. Ain't nothing changing. And I was like, whoa, because I'm thinking in my mind, I call on Jesus. Jesus just can do it. No, Jesus just can't do what we ask him to do. We got to ask the Father in his name, and then he will do it for us if the Father says so. We got to get permission. He's going to tell Jesus, yes, you can do that for Bessie. So we got to stop thinking. We can just ask Jesus. He said we got to follow the instructions. The instructions was ask the Father in my name, and I will do it for you. But he can't lie. He's the same person today that he was yesterday and tomorrow. So if he says, I only do what the Father says, I only say what the Father say, you think that changed? Because if it changed, then he's lied. It doesn't change. So it still worked today. He's not going to do it until the Father grants him permission to do it. And the Holy Spirit does the work. That's my take on it. That was my personal conversation. It was an enlightenment to me. And so sometimes we wonder why our prayers are not being answered, because what? We're out of the will of God. We're not doing it the way we were instructed to do it. And if you don't do it the way you instructed to do it, you're not going to get the same results. If Jesus didn't do what God told him to do, Lazarus would not have come out of that grave. The blind would not see. The lame would not walk. The lady with the issue of blood would not be healed. You see, all of this is because he anointed him to do the work. Even though she didn't say anything to him, but the anointment was already the permission to heal. And she knew in her spirit, I could just touch that hem, it's on it. She's already got permission from the Father to do the work. So that's kind of my take on it this morning. I tell you, I'm just like, whoa. This is good. All right. I'm going to pass it over. Cynthia, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm going to take what you said to a new level, because when I read this in scripture about even the Holy Spirit doesn't give us anything aside from the Father. The Father, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son are so intricately inwoven, and they are the perfect trio. They give us exactly what we need. And so, guys, I'm gonna give you some scriptures. I'll give you those at the end of my comments. But the will of God is known by the wise, Spirit-filled Christians with the renewed mind who seeks to know the truth so he can do the will. And this knowledge is something that he or she can be spiritually. In the absence of the knowledge of God, you do not know the will of God. You only know what you think you should be doing.
So the concept of the will of God also involves difficult and audacious, which is hard, obedience. All of those things that you mentioned, Dr. Fletcher, we have to be obedient to the word if we want to know the will of God and walk in his will and be able to for God to fulfill his plan for our lives. It is under trials, it is under hard, difficult obedience for which we will receive a reward. We all, like you said, we want the promises, but we don't want to be hard, difficult, or inobedience. So that's the concept of the will of God. And finally, the will of God has an almost mystical level. Like you said, it's just flowing because you're in obedience, bringing entrance into internal life and causing us to abide forever. So the things that you are doing, because you are in the will of God, God is blessing you, blessing us, blessing the ministry. And because you are the head of the ministry, if you don't do your part, then everything else or nothing else, if you will work for the ministry. And as the truth, and what makes us partakers is being able to do what God has called us all to do. If I had not called you and you had not called me back, and we wouldn't be doing this together. It's all in following and being obedient to what God is asking us to do. And guess what? Jesus has already done everything he's going to do for us. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit back. Jesus sitting back chilling. But he intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Even when we don't know what to ask for, we know that we have our big brother, our master and savior up there praying for us, because the Holy Spirit utters for us even when we don't even know what to ask for. When it comes to wanting to do the will of God, if you have not sought God for instructions as to what it is that he would have you to do for the will for your life, then guess what? You ain't going to know. It's just that simple. And so, audience, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures if you just want to write it down and read it in your time so you can search the word for yourself. Don't believe Dr. Fletcher and I. Study to show yourself approved so you'll know if we are telling you what it's written. So John 7:16-18, number one, Ephesians 5:15-17, Colossians 1:9-12, Romans 12:2, and 1 John 2:17 all talks about the will of God. So if you want to know the will of God, spend some time this week. One of the greatest things, when I teach success strategies, Dr. Fletcher, I'm amazed by the fact that most adults don't know the will for their lives. They don't know their purpose. And in the absence of purpose, you'll be just spinning in this world, not doing anything worth of eternal glory to God, because you simply don't know what it is that God has created you to do. And in the absence of that, you will never do the will of God because you don't know what he's calling you to do. That's my take on it, Dr. B.
Yeah, that's the take, because if you don't ask God, why did you send me here, the devil going to play with you. He'll make you think you're supposed to be an engineer when actually you're supposed to just go out there and feed the homeless. You know,
that's
not me.
Itself.
Yeah, that's right. That's engineering in itself. Not meaning that's a small job, but anything that God asks you to do is a part of fulfilling his glory here on earth for his kingdom. We don't have to be a superstar. See, that's the key. You have to know Jesus is the only star. So when we get that, we can be a servant. And a servant means just what it says. It's to serve. You got to serve somebody. If we had to wait till we got paid to serve the women at the prison, we probably wouldn't be serving the women at the prison. We'd just go in there because we got a job. And we getting paid. And we want to keep that paycheck so we do just enough to keep from getting fired. That's what would happen. But when God didn't give us a paycheck, he put us in a position of serving. And serving don't look well to other people. Serving look like stupid to other people. Serving look like you're doing something, ain't getting no reward from other people. But there's a greater reward because what? You know the will that there, and I know the will
for our lives from God. And no matter what other people try to tell us, we know that we know.
And we know that
we And we know we're going to do that will.
Absolutely.
It don't, if he gave me $1 million when we first started this thing, well, I'm going to take it higher than that because men ain't no money. But if he gave us $100 million, we would just be doing and we would do some crazy stuff. Not now, because we done been through the journey with no money. Right. But see, before when we first got started, oh, we've been doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, because you got money. Money, you know, you get people to do this. You do, and then it wouldn't have been the will of God the way he wanted that program to run, the Bible college. But he says, I'm going to ask them to do it, and I'm going to ask them to trust me, and I'm going to pay them on the back end. Will you work for me and trust me and know that I'm going to pay you, because you ain't going to do more work than I'm going to give you pay.
Amen.
God ain't going to never let you outdo him.
Well,
so my thing is, we did the work and we're still doing the work, and there's no salary attached, there's no grant attached, because we are serving. You got to serve somebody. You got to be able to help somebody else outside of yourself. And this is our mission. And that's when I realized we're missionaries. That's all we are. We are missionaries. We are not missionaries of Africa, Jamaica, or wherever. We are missionaries that are stationed right here in the prisons of the United States. That was our assignment. That is our mission. And that's what we do. And missionaries go in and they do servant work.
I wanted to share this with the audience. What we're just to clarify what we're saying, in my opinion, is that we're not telling you don't work for your be able to take care of you and your family. Because you got to understand there's two things. You got your avocation and your vocation. Your avocation is that call on your life that God has called you to do. And your vocation is what pays you to take care of yourself and your family. But the will of God will always be of servanthood, and so that's the call on your life. So you don't do one or the other. You do what he's called you to do. And now he may tell you to come out from underneath your vocation in order to serve him more nearly and more dearly. And that's what he did for me. He asked me to leave my career. I was quite content as an X-ray technologist. I was doing quite well. I was making a nice little chunk of change. When he was calling me to do this thing with the prison and work with this population, I laughed. And even Sarah laughed when he said that she was going to have a baby, the will of God, because he promised it to who? Abraham. So God will ask you to do some stuff, and you will just have to laugh. But guess what? If you don't do it, he'll get somebody else to do it. So I'm like, I fought this thing for about 10 months to work with the population. And I'm like, I am not leaving my job to work with a bunch of dysfunctional women. I ain't doing it. And I can just see our Heavenly Father up there laughing, because guess what? 12 years later, I'm doing it, and I can't imagine doing anything other than the will of God for my life. And everything else comes secondary to the will and the call on my life. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, when you get that call on your life, you can't eat, sleep, drink, It consumes you once you accept the call. See, that's the thing. It'll irritate you. You can't sleep, and God ain't gonna let you rest everywhere you go. It's like Jonah, and he ended up putting you in the whale's belly for 3 days, and then all of a sudden you got some sense after you done went through something, and then you be like, okay, Lord. And my thing was, I found myself falling on my knees saying, Lord, okay, what do you want me to do? You know, because I thought I was doing it, but I was doing more of me. I was working with mothers and daughters, but I was doing more of me. I was doing social stuff, event planning and this and that, and trying to get stuff out there for the people to see. And God's like, now you threw it all that? Because that ain't what I asked you to do. Go set yourself down. That's why you ain't seen me all over the place. Every once in a while, he'll send me out for something. I go, I come back. I ain't got to promote me. I'm going to do what he told me to do.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I won't get no result.
Absolutely.
Deborah?
I'm here.
Deborah, you
Oh, yeah. We're just going on and on and on.
Okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I tell you, I just say, Lord, I thank you. I just thank you because I have prayed for a long time to always be slow to speak because I'm a talker. And this mm-hmm. allows me to practice that, just listen, you know what I mean? And so I just thank God, you know, being a student still in school, and I have to have that listening spirit and have to be teachable. So, like, when I pray, I always say, Lord, help us, not the audience, us, you know? So we may hear the word. So we may do the word. So we could be the leaders in the light. And you know, anyway, I can go on. But let me just give my few points here. We was talking about God's will and how do we know God's will. Well, the Bible, I can give you an example. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Like anything we want to assemble, there's always some instructions. And there's times that I found myself trying to fix it without reading instructions. There's times that I tried to act like I know everything and then had to go back to say, teach me. I know that in life, there's times when I'm supposed to be listening. And there's a person that's going to always bring a word. So God said, preach the word, teach my people, feed my sheep. That's his will. And whatever capacity he tells you to do it in, whether it's talking to an inmate or talking to somebody under the bridge, go and preach the word, teach my word, save my people. In other words, feed my sheep. So how could you go, mm-hmm. how could people know the word if they don't hear a word? Somebody got to preach the word. Somebody mm-hmm. got to teach the word. Break it down so we can understand it. Like I tell my teacher, I raise my hand. She's been talking about some very difficult stuff, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, can you break it down to me like a two-year-old teacher? I'm 50 years old in the class saying, break it down to me. Teach me so I can learn. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to repeat mm-hmm. this course over again. And God is saying, read my word. Read my word. You want to know how to live? You want to know how to deal with people with a gossiping spirit and backbite spirit? You want to know how to deal with that? Go to Proverbs, the book of wisdom, to be wise. And you know, I love Proverbs because it teaches me how to deal with us. You want to know how to live? You want to know what my will is? Treat people like you want to be treated. Love those and forgive those, you know, and never leave a person where you find them. That's my interjection right there. Bring them up. Never leave them where you find them. Always try to edify, build people up, you know. And so I just believe that in the will of what God wants for me, in the midst of being in the will and being in alignment, I got to read his word and I got to pray and I got to ask him for guidance and when to go left, when to go right, when to just stay straight. And just to do his will. And sometimes I miss it because I have too much noise in my head. Stuff that I don't allow people to put in there that don't mean me no good. Stuff that need to be deleted from the computer. Stuff that just clogging up my memory. Stuff that gave me a virus in my spirit. And so I need God to help me reboot every time because there's things in the word that wants to contaminate my thinking and keep me from getting in alignment with the will of God. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I go left when he say go right. So I just come back to the center and start over. Lord, forgive me because yesterday I said something that I shouldn't have said. I was involved too much in the gospel. I didn't want to say nothing at first, but then I found myself going too far to the right when I should have just been quiet. Teach me to be in your will, Lord. Teach me how to live for you so I may be an example to those that I preach to or I teach to or that I try to feed. Let them see the light. Sometimes it ain't what I say, it's what I do. It speaks volumes. You know, it helps other people find their way to you, draw them near to you so they may find your will and do your work in the way that you've called them to do it. So I just ask God to help me just be that demonstration every day so I can be in line with your word. And so when I can't say a word to somebody across the room in a store, they can see from afar that it's something about that will draw them near so I may get something to put in their ear that'll save their soul. Be in the will of God. You know? It ain't always easy, but like even now, I'm saying, Lord, let me press on because
my neck been bothering me, the pillow, I don't know what, but I'm up and I want to go because I hadn't been to a meeting in a couple of meetings, you know. So I want to go and just be that light, just sit there. I don't even say nothing. I can sit there for an hour. I just sit there and wonder, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How you doing? It's good to see you. You know, you look so good today. I'm glad to see you coming around. Just build people up. No trying to compliment and then come ask you for something. You know, people, how you doing? You look beautiful. Can I get $5? You know, none of that. Just genuine. Just say hello. You don't know how hello or make somebody date.
And I smile.
You know, y'all know I could go on and on. Just, you know, being in the will of God, just trying to be the best version of me every day as I walk and profess to be a believer so other people can see that I can live a life, that I ain't so holy, so heavenly minded, I ain't no earthly good, that I can help somebody. And that's why I said, Lord, help me, get me on track. Not who, what they doing next door, and who's zooming, who got, you know, who mad. I don't need to know all that, because see, that just stopped me from being the way I need to be when I see them, because now all I'm thinking about is what you done told me about them. And I can't get that out of my head. I'm trying to be genuine, but the thoughts keep coming back that she got a weak bladder, that she smells, and, you know, and I'm not trying to smell her. I'm just trying to be encouraging. So I got to guard my computer. My head, my heart, my spirit, so I could just be in the will, do his will, don't complain. And that's where I'm at now. Stop complaining. I've been complaining. I wanted to quit my job, and yes, it's online. I wanted to go find another job because there's some stuff going on. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I thank you for the job. Let me be the light I'm going to be with the people. Let me be who we call me to be. And yeah, basically the stress before leaving earth. Let's find out what God is saying, what we need to do. And then you were saying something earlier about it was something to do about being an example or something. And Apostle Paul was saying, I became what the people were to reach them. It's in Corinthians, maybe 7:22. I had it here. And it was saying, I became what the people were to reach them. It said 1 Corinthians 9:22. See, I became what the people were. If they was weak, I didn't go and act all big and bad and all boasting and all like I'm a superstar. No, I became weak because I want to get on an even ground so I can reach them. Mm-hmm. I want to have a common interest, a common denominator, so I can reach the people that I was sent to reach, so I can preach, teach, and save, or feed the sheep, whatever it is. God sent me on a mission. What's the will of God?
Mm-hmm.
To help draw those in so then when the day comes, we can go on to glory. You know, be that light and draw the people so the people may come to me. I don't wish that any should perish, that they all should live have everlasting life. So you go and be the light and you draw them to me. Not to you, to me. You know, not following you. Follow me as I follow Christ. You know what I mean? We all going supposed to be heavenly bound. So, yeah, that's my take on it. And I just thank God that, you know, every time I get opportunity to share, it just reinforces in my head, you know, for the day. Hey, remember the word, And when that little flesh you talking about, go like that, the word. Remember.
Mm-hmm.
God is counting on us. So remember, it's not for the ready. It's for life. This is life instructions. Be kind to people. Be patient in the grocery store when the girl, somebody called up, they ain't working the pen number wrong, or they ain't got no money on the card. Whatever they're holding the line up for, be patient, because I remember I done held the line up and probably going to hold it up some more before it's over. So be patient, long-suffering. Those that ain't got it right yet, they keep doing what they're doing. It's long. It's the longest word in the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering. That's the longest word in all the fruits of the Spirit. That's the longest word in letters. Long suffering.
Amen. Amen. Wow. What a word. You know, I'm sitting here going, God, I am just thankful that he asked me to do this and he brought y'all all on and we just worked together as a team. It's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit just bring up an opinion from each of us, and it's all one opinion, his word and what he's saying to us. So you're right. That's what I was trying to tell mothers. Don't always be above the daughter. Get on her level, because that's all she knows. She hasn't lived that 20-some years that you are older than she is. She hasn't lived that yet. She don't have that kind of experience in the world. And her 20-some years is not going to be the same as yours. So get into her world and enjoy your daughter and stop blaming. And that Bible verse was the perfect Bible verse. I just come into them. I mean, when you go to a place and you walk in there and you got your arrogance on and you think that you're above everybody else in that place, I mean, really, you look stupid, really, to tell you the truth. So people looking at you like you're stupid, when you can come in and smile and say hello and speak to people, I can't see it any other way. I really can't.
I just let you know, when God first called me to do this, I was literally one of those people who came in thinking I was better than the population that God called me to serve. And I made it clear and known that I didn't like the people that God had called me to serve. Every day that I was asked to do a process group, the first thing I would start off with, I don't like you people, but who am I? You don't know where people are in their psyche. For me to be so callous and for me to be so self-centered, for me to think of myself so highly than those he's called me to serve, shame on me. But that's where I was at the time when he called me. I don't have to stay there. I started getting in the word. I was insisted upon to deal with my own demons so I can see where all that was coming from. I can't like a population of women when I don't like me. And you got to know where all of that negative energy is coming from in order that you can gain the understanding to know why you have an issue with the people. They may not be believers, but they are God's people. And we are to lift people up. There are some 37-plus verses in the Bible that talks about how God lifts people up. And if we're walking in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, we've simply been called to lift people up because we don't know where they are in their psyche. So we are to bring ourselves to their levels in order to love them, because you can't love something you think you're better than. That's my thought.
All right. Come on with it, somebody. You know, it's amazing. We all have grown. That's why what I like about it, I tell people, I'm the student. I'm not here trying to preach to you as if I don't know, because I couldn't. The Lord's not going to use me to tell you something that I haven't experienced that I don't know something about. So you got to go through something for him to use what you've done. Everybody said, I'll take your mess and turn it into my best. That's a cliche. I don't think it's in the Bible, but people say it, which makes sense. You mess up, don't worry about it. I can take that. And I can help somebody else who may be in the same mess that you were in. So whatever we do, once we come to Christ, nothing is going to go wasted. He can use that to take somebody else because, say, for instance, the women that we talked to in the prison, we have this young lady that graduated last year, audience, and she was valedictorian, and we bring her on. She's working with the ministry now as an intern to get experience to put with her education. But we assign her as the liaison over the women in prison so that she could be their mentor for the week and if they need something. See, because Cindy and I have not experienced that life, then we need to put somebody there that they can hear and say, okay, I know you can relate to me. And Deborah, you know, that's why we love about you, because you come to them with such hope and such joy and such love that they really just talk about you. They want you because they can see themselves wanting to be just like you, you know? You don't have to be perfect, but they see where you come from and where you are, and they see, oh, it's possible.
The hope.
The hope is there. You know, we can talk about God and all these things, but God used our testimony to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
So I thank you. And I thank you too. You do it, and you and you're a team player, and I just can't imagine us doing it without you. be honest with you. So that's our take today, audience. We are absolutely, I'm full. I think we did a good job. If you don't know the will of God, get the book, open it up. You can just Google the will of God, and it's going to show you all kind of Bible verses. I tell them, make it easy. People don't want to read the Bible because they're afraid of it. Been that, done that many years ago, you know, thinking every time I read something, it didn't make sense to me. Why? Because I wasn't open to understand. I wasn't willing to listen. I wasn't willing to receive. So the Holy Spirit ain't got time to be fooling with you if you ain't ready for him to wait. That's wasted time. Now, when you read it, he's going to explain to you, and you're going to get it. But don't play. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show, audience. Cynthia and Deborah, thank you. It was a great show.
Thank you.
Great
and
show.
Thank you, audience. Love you guys.
Love you too.
All right, Deborah, have a good day.
You too.
Bye bye, audience. See you next Saturday.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Cynthia.
Bye bye.
Bye, baby. Love you.
Love you too.